Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, your favorite podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the show. We're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. So you've heard the yummy food descriptions. You've seen the fabulous food photography. Yeah, you've seen it all. Here's a reminder about what we do and your opportunity to experience what all the fuss is about. I'm referring to our Farmers Craveable Dinner event coming up on January 13th at Cahaba Club Farm. You need to get your tickets. Time is running out. Don't be late, man. Show up. Go to thewalkintalk.com and get a seat at the table. On the menu today, thank you, Peninsula Food Service, by the way, for supplying all the proteins for today's production. It's tailgating season. Big games are our front and center. The food choice. Well, I hope this doesn't rub you the wrong way. We're talking hot chocolate rub. We're talking coffee rubs. We're talking fat Sammies, man. This is, you got to see what's going on over here. It's going to score. By the way, go Michigan, baby. Yeah. Coming up, you know what I'm talking about, national championship. All right. Also, this week's guest is the pitmaster. Wow. It is Tillman Lee Nelson, pitmaster and owner of Tillman's line of barbecue sauces. He'll be coming up soon. Jefferson. This is our first podcast of the year, by the way. Happy New Year, everybody. I am geeked up. I don't know if you can tell. You saw with that sandwich, man. Like, I slammed it. I took a murderous bite out of that amazing thing. Why don't you pop the clutch and slam into pre-shift, baby? Make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is my definitely wheelhouse. I love to sit there, and we were talking, you know, in the green room, John, and where I was telling him that I love, and I don't know if Tillman will do this, we'll talk to him in a little bit, But I love to aerate or dry out the product that I'm going to be using. And what that means basically is I use whatever means of the quote unquote glue, yellow mustard for my ribs. And then I do my rub. The rub I actually used, Sweetwater coffee. So thank you again. That's something I used. I took the espresso, I ground it really nice and fine. I put that as the base layer after the mustard. And then I put on the original gangster or the OG rub, and then I let it sit in the refrigerator for 24 hours to get kind of like dehydrated and a crust started. And I do the same thing with the chicken. So the chicken actually had a Mexican hot chocolate. So it's got cayenne, and I ferment my own chocolate, or chipotle, sorry. I ferment my own chocolate, and that was rubbed on the chicken and let that aerate or dry or dehydrate for that one day. And then we had some collards, and I wanted to do something different to focus in on what you could do for tailgating. So You being Italian, I figured might as well just step up mac and cheese and bring it to the next level. I did. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you did good, man. Those gnocchis were fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. They weren't heavy.
No.
They didn't sink to my, you know, the bottom of my stomach. They were light, airy, beautifully done.
I'll be honest with you. The trick to doing it is not boiling your potatoes, because that adds a lot more water to it, and that can make it a little bit hard, heavier. So it's a little more starchy, so it gets kind of gummy. If you roast the potatoes, it brings out the natural sugars too.
Those are straight potato gnocchis?
Yeah. Well, wow. There's some, a little bit of cheese in there too.
Okay. Well, yeah. There had to be, because they were just so light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's egg. There's I was trying to be nice because John's wife can't have certain products, and Dingy forgot about eggs that she can't have, but I did gluten-free. Mm-hmm. Flour.
Yeah.
And it just turned out so well, binded really together well, had a little Italian spices in there, but I'd made a beer mac and cheese sauce.
It's so good, man. And you know what? I'm really sorry for Cindy that she can't have this, because I'm taking it home.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. So sorry, I did Cindy. That. I did riced cauliflower and pink Dominican beans, but I did it in the style of more of Cuban style of the bean. And then we did, we did elote for the one, and then we did bacon braised collards. Just something that it's traditional, but I kicked it up with a little bit of peach vinegar. So that would actually bring that flavor out. And believe it or not, my ribs didn't go the 3-2-1 style. They cooked really good, really fast. So I'm lucky that I keep a internal clock, if you want to call it that. And I didn't burn them, thank God, but they really turned out well. And then I wanted to do something. I have a friend of mine who's from Germany and loves the McRib. And I'm like, God, really? You like the McRib? So I wanted to do a rib sandwich, and that thing was just a sexy beast.
It was so pretty, and it's already packed. People, you have to understand something. First of all, it's a new year, right? And while I have gained a tremendous amount of weight here doing this, and it's happy weight. It's not, this is like smiles, okay? This is like rainbows, unicorns, you know.
Well, if anybody wants to see, go see the BTS when you're groaning.
Yeah, it's good. But I am trying to control myself, okay?
You did a good job.
I did, right?
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to eat it all at home when I get
there. I know. In the closet.
In the car, maybe.
Even in the garage.
But I'm showing out here. Like, I'm doing my best, right?
Your restraint.
Yeah, I'm showing restraint.
But that sandwich had the ribs. It had pickled red onions, the collard, that one had the collards on it. And it was like a hoagie bun.
Yeah.
And then we did a cheese blend of Fontina cheese, white cheddar, and Gruyere.
It was, listen, Mickey D's, eat your heart out. Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you like that chicken sandwich. Because the chicken skin acts like bacon.
Yeah, man. You're hurting me, you know, literally and physically. You're hurting me. Because here's the deal. Like, I took a bite out of that. And I'm thinking to myself, man, does this match the previous sandwiches? Right. And every week, and I hate saying it because I don't want to have redundancy or, hey, the guy says, that Carly says the same thing every time. No, I don't want that. I want it to be like, wow, hey, here's my favorite. But no, they're all so damn good, and I eat them all, and they're all great.
You know what's bad for me? I have the hardest time, and I'm looking at John and you, I have the hardest time coming up with something that's going to be better than the last one.
Look, I think it's at this stage, right? We're like almost 90 episodes in to the show, right?
It's been a year, but that I've been playing with food.
Right.
Every Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, you're living your best life too as a chef, right? I mean, like,
you definitely have fun.
We're having a good time. I'm getting to eat. John's taking awesome photography. This is like,
but he gets to eat. Today he got to eat.
We allowed it. Yeah.
I think John, if he would actually say something, I think his favorite today was the sweet potato pecan tart.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, I will allow it. You know, it was like that.
Let him eat. Yeah. Let him eat cake.
Yes.
Tarts.
Have the cake. All right. So, yeah. So listen, as far as the sandwiches go, man, I love them. I have, my name's Carl, and I have an addiction to, you know, Jeffrey's sandwiches. I just can't help it, man. It's really good.
You're going to find on one of the events we're going to be doing as a pop-up, there will be a sandwich.
I know.
As a pop-up bite.
You people, listen, use guys, use peeps. You need to get to the website and go order tickets. There's only, I don't know, there's spots left, not many. You need to just get on there and make it happen.
Vicky Webster actually reached out to me. She goes, what day you're available next week? Because they might want to go on TV with Channel 10 for me do something. Nice. So look forward to that, hopefully.
That would be great. Yeah, I had a, there was another podcast, and I got to look it up real quick because I don't want to say the name wrong, but they sent a side note on Instagram, and they have a prior engagement, or, you know, they would have been coming too. There was a lot of side chat. I think going forward, when we put these events on, I think we do it with just a little bit more time out, you know, this way we can really saturate and, you know, put the word out and kind of, you know, corral everybody up.
Well, I think this next one, having all the influencers there too, it's going to be huge, because those that do not come, you're going to miss out.
Oh, man. Yeah.
100%.
I mean, we're going to do our walk and talk recording every, you know, we're going to have the...
tasting cam is going to be really good. I mean, every influencer, when I told them the idea, quote unquote, behind the tasting cam to it, they're like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, my God.
We call it tasty cam. Yeah, tasty. Not tasting cam. Yeah. Like, you know, it's pretty...
I like that tasty cam.
Yeah, tasty cam. Come on.
Because things are just tasty. Speaking of tasty.
Yes. All right. Now, I don't want to wait any longer, because if there's nothing I like more, it's talking about barbecue. Okay. In every single aspect, Mr. Tillman, welcome to the program, and thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you do a lot of really cool stuff. I've actually had your product, through John, and I love it. So there, I'm just saying, putting it out there.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I would love one of these days when you're doing one of your competitions, I would love to shake your hand, meet you, and, you know, get you actually fresh. 'Cause that would be, I think, also fresh, if you know what I'm saying.
That would be the most ideal way. If you can make it to a contest, that'd be great.
Yes. So let's talk about that. So first of all, real quickly, if you can, maybe spend 30 seconds. You have a story to your sauce line. What is it?
Yeah. So grandma had a recipe that was passed down, in the 40s from, I guess it was her uncle. So it'd be my great uncle. It actually originated in Hialeah, Florida, back then. And they had a package type store they lived in the backyard, and there was a store up front. I guess you could do that there then. And then they would have barbecue events for all the customers on the weekends. And that sauce was just primarily what was made and used, which is my grandma's original red. And that's where it started. She made the sauce when we were growing up, and I just kind of started with that recipe and asked her one day if she minded if I started bottling it, and she loved the idea, and that's where it started.
That is a very, listen, any kind of story that has to do with lineage and, you know, family history, we here at the show in general are all about that.
Awesome.
Is that where your passion came from for, you know, being in the pit, hitting the grill, the barbecue, like what, where is that what it is?
It was more or less just kind of funny. I was gas grill, you know, replacing burners. And I'm like, you know what? My dad and my grandfather cooked on a Weber 22 kettle my whole life. They never had a gas grill. So I threw it out. I threw out the gas grill, got a Weber 22. And just started doing that. Next thing you know, I'm finding all these little gadgets you can add to it to do smoking. And it just took off from there and made some pretty terrible barbecue for about a year. If my wife was here, she would be chiming in on that. And, yeah, it, you know, that was basically where it started. And then I had a couple of guys that I worked in an automotive shop, and every Monday we'd be bringing in the leftover barbecue from the weekend, and mine always seemed to be superior. And so it just grew from that aspect, and it started my first competition and won, and that was it. I was hooked.
How long ago was that, the competition?
That was in 2013, believe it or not. 2013 was the first contest in Deerfield Beach, Florida, and we won first place in pork. And once you get a call like that, especially your first time out, we basically, it's like a fish in water. I mean, you're hooked, it's over. And now I have a motorhome, a cook trailer, and a sauce line, and that's what happens.
Yeah, it's his trailer is ridiculous.
I know. You told me about it. I really want to see it. It's like
it's every pit master, whoever's into barbecue. It's your dream come true.
We need to get him over at the World Food Championship and competing up there.
Absolutely,
that's what we need to do.
Yeah,
we can make that happen.
We can't be judging though. We would be, that would be biased.
Whatever, we'll figure that out. But we can get him in there. We gotta get him in.
Yeah, I met him at what, Pig Fest is the one I went to? Yeah, Pig Fest.
Yes, it was Pig Fest, which is coming up again soon.
Yeah, and then you're gonna be there too. I think it's gonna be this, what you were talking
26th, 27th weekend of January. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna be there.
I won't be able to go, unfortunately, if it's the 27th. I actually have a cooking class based on, believe it or not, Asian barbecue.
I love that.
There's nothing not to believe.
Love the profile.
So how many competitions are you doing a year?
So last year we took on a pretty big list, should I say. And I think we ended up around 15 contests, which some guys would be like, oh, that's nothing, I'll do 25. But for me, with two kids in school, full-time job, and especially we traveled to Kansas City during one of those events, and it was just a lot. But this year, it's probably panning out to be around the same, about 15, 16 contests, depending on how well we do throughout the year, because we might get invited back to some bigger events that are out of state. And if that happens, that might change the schedule around a little bit.
How are you preparing for this? Like, if, especially the ones where you have to travel.
He's trying to make sure if you need a taster, he'll be the person.
Because I'll be there. I jump right into Jeep. I'm there, buddy. You know what I mean? Like,
I'll definitely let you know when the local events are going to be for you, and hopefully you can make it out.
Because he doesn't care about local. He'll go anywhere for food.
Yeah, man. I travel for the barbecue.
Trust me, I watched him in Dallas. That's he'll awesome. Go wherever there's food.
That's awesome.
Part of a large part of the weight gain from this year legitimately came from Dallas. It's what can I tell you? All right. So how are you prepping for this stuff, man? What do you do?
It's funny. It's an ordeal, believe it or not. You know, it's crazy because it's like, oh, you know, just go get some ribs, chicken, pork, brisket. Yeah. And as you know, anybody in the culinary industry knows, to find top quality week in and week out is not always easy. And so basically, luckily with the beef, I have a connection. Butcher shop. It's called The Butcher Shop in Pensacola. They have a Australian A9 plus Wagyu brisket that they import. And that's about as top tier as you can get when it comes to the beef that we're cooking. But they have them on pretty much on hand most of the time, so I can get those ordered in to me. But the chicken, pork, and ribs, I don't like to buy it ahead because, you know, now I'm freezing it now, which I mean, I will freeze here and there if I have to, but prefer to try to get it, you know, go out on get, we get back on Sunday from an event, and then Monday I'm out shopping after work every night, trying to find top quality ribs and pork from either Restaurant Depot in town or some butchers, local butchers that I might venture out to, things like that. But in terms of preparation, I'm getting all my meats together, and then we can trim in advance. We are allowed to trim in advance. So me and my wife call it the chicken trimming date night. We'll get in the camper. I'm get into the cook trailer on Wednesday after the kids are done with dinner and we're in there trimming our chicken thighs, because that's the most tedious trimming session there is. And thankfully I've had her help now with it.
What do you have to do that's trimming on a chicken thigh? Are you taking the bone out or are you leaving the bone in? What's so tedious?
So we leave the bone in. So I'm buying a bone in skin on thigh. Mm-hmm. And the thing we've learned over the years is pulling the skin, scraping this fat off the backside of the skin will help with the rendering and the bite through skin. So the judges want to see the skin on and they want to be able to bite through that thigh and the skin stays in place and it bites through clean. So you would think you'd want to crisp it up on the grill and then sauce it. No, not in the competition scene. It's got to be soft and basically bite through. So that's one aspect of it. But you know, you're knocking off the big knuckle on the one end and then squaring it off. So by the time you're done, it's kind of rounded like a pillow. So
gotcha. Gotcha.
But then there's some tendons and some veins that need to come out of there, because if you get any kind of blood in the meat, even if the thigh's cooked really thoroughly, if you get one vein or something like that, you can get DQ'd. And so you just got to kind of go through each thigh. So it just takes so much time by the time you get done with I like to have about 18 trimmed and ready to go. So
wow. And how many do you present to the judges?
So that's a good question. So out of 18, you only turn in 6. If you're cooking for Kansas City Barbecue Society, their sanctioning requires the minimum of 6 pieces. But if it's Florida Barbecue Association, it's a minimum of 8. So the tricky part is when you have to put it in a styrofoam clamshell box, and the FBA, Florida Barbecue Association, they only want 8, but you can't put 8 in there and look symmetrical. So now I'm turning it 9. So out of 18, I've got to have 9 perfect thighs to put in a styrofoam clamshell box. So it's a little challenging to get that done along with, you know, but then the KCBS, 6 of them goes on top of a bed of greens. So it's a little more forgiving.
So what I want to know is this, right? Cause I've had maybe four, I want to say, of your barbecue sauce, of the barbecue sauces. Yes. So the Florida Gold is my favorite. Okay.
Thanks. Yep.
Yes. So, but I didn't know this, but what is this brown sugar honey habanero thing? What is that? Is that that's a
brown health? Sugar?
Yeah. I'm looking at your. I'm on your IG right now. Before we get into that, hold on. Let me stop. Wait.
Okay.
All right. So what I want to know. Sorry about that. What I want to know is on your Florida Gold. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the one that you actually won the award on?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Yes, that one won the best sauce on the planet, which was I was blown away because it's a mustard-based sauce, which, I mean, I love mustard-based sauce. A lot of people do. As you said, you love it. You're your favorite one of all of them. But, you know, it's going in against all different categories, tomato-based, sweet tomato-based, mild tomato-based, spicy. It got the most votes out of all flavors, all profiles and all bases. So it was pretty cool to see a mustard-based win best overall.
Yeah, that's probably not a typical thing. What is so your main thing in life right now is selling the barbecue sauce, or how what is it that you're, is that your primary role? Is that what you're doing for work every day?
No, I wish. I mean, it would be great, but thankfully, I tell people, I make the joke all the time, luckily I had a full-time career before I started the barbecue sauce business, because it's definitely a large undertaking.
Brother, I do
I do mechanical claims during the day, and I've been with the company for quite a while. They've taken care of me over the years. And then the barbecue thing's just grown on the sideline. And now it's like a moonlighting, shipping sauce, packing sauce, just all of that, all the details surrounding it.
Do you have distribution?
I'm actually working on that right now. Right now I'm really just distributing myself. So I don't have it set up for, like, I have many small mom and pop grill shops. I have some Ace Hardwares, but I don't have any corporate companies right now. Part of the reason is probably because distribution. I need to be ready for that large move. And that's my 2024. That's the goal. So we're going to go that route for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we should probably talk a little bit. Maybe there's some opportunities I can maybe connect you with some people where we can help you get that going.
You have a co-packer that does the sauce though, correct?
Yep. I have a co-packer, and he actually is going to start with distribution for me this year. But, you know, in terms of I know there's multiple facets for that. So I might need to branch off into some larger opportunities with that. So we definitely can talk. But yeah, my co-packer is Jim Elser, Sweet Smoke Q in Lakeland, Florida. I make the joke now where I don't even make the sauce on my own anymore because he makes it better than me in a large batch. I can't even make it on the stove as good as he's making it. So I just, I had let him take over the reins, and, you know, obviously legality wise, that's what I had to do anyways, to, you know, FDA approval and everything. But, we're also going to come out with some rubs. We got two rubs coming out this year, a beef and a pork and chicken that I use in competition now that I just haven't released until, you know, upcoming this year. So I can't wait to get that going.
When's your next one you said is up here?
Yeah, I'm here now in St. Augustine, and starting Friday morning, we're heading over just down the street to the Jimmy Jam Barbecue Slam, which is a KCBS sanctioned contest. And that was last year. They were Michael Simon was out here, and we did Barbecue USA, and they filmed us for that episode out here in St. Augustine. So it's awesome. It's a great event.
When are you going to be here in the Lakeland area?
January 26th.
Yeah, we'll 27th to 26th. Yeah, the 26th. Let me see. I'm looking at my calendar to make sure. Yeah, the 27th is a Saturday. That's the Saturday we'll be there. But then we'll be pretty close every week after that, because February 3rd, there's one, I think it's in Winter Haven. It's not that close. It's a little closer.
No, it's not far from us. Yeah.
The 10th. I'm trying to think. February 10th is Davenport, I think. So, I mean, there's a bunch in Central Florida in the next few weeks. So I'll have to let you guys know the schedule. See when you can come out.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I can commit to that, too. Mate, let's make it happen. I want to get out there.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
So, again, so I want
to get March 7th. You can't commit to that.
No, not on 7th. No.
No,
we got Patrick Kelly's boat tour extraordinaire extravaganza. That's going to be, I'm actually pretty excited about that. Very excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we have a buddy who he has another podcast. It's called the Produce Industry Podcast. He's a good dude. He rented out a 150 person like yacht, and invite only. There's going to be all sorts of good food and stuff happening on there. It's going to be cool. So that's on March 7th.
I think I'm available March 7th.
But I mean, maybe if you're going to, maybe you bring the brisket.
Sauces.
Yeah. Bring that Wagyu biscuit and the sauces. I think we'll work it out. Yeah. Make that happen.
That's good. Yeah. That could work.
Well, actually, yeah. Let's talk about that after off air. Now you got my gears turning. You got my sales and marketing gears wound up here. Yeah, we'll talk about that, actually.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. That works.
Tillman, have you ever heard of compart pork, compact duroc?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So awesome product. Cooked a lot of it And I have a lot of competition friends who cook a ton of it and always use that wholeheartedly. But I have found I end up with a better result with Prairie Fresh, which is Seaboard. Seaboard Farms. It's not a Duroc breed. It's actually non-Duroc. Now that's just the way it's been going for me lately. But the Duroc is definitely a great, and that Compar Farms, I mean, they have a great product. So it's just my, you know, I guess it's, I hate to bounce around. It's just one of those things when you start doing well, you just keep going down that same path. You try to replicate everything you're doing. And for whatever reason, I can nail tenderness with those ribs all the time. So it's like, and that's where it's at, you know, timing, tenderness is what you need. So.
100%. There's only four farmers that I know that have registered Berkshire here in Florida. We actually have three of them that are part of the Farmers Crable Dinner. But there's so many different other ones. There's City Chicks down in Bonita Springs. Not Bonita Springs.
You know what would be
Sebring.
Really, you know what would be really cool?
What, Nicole?
Yeah, of course. Always Nicole.
Circle C's.
Oh, Nicole always is cool. No, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, if one of the next shows that we actually do events, we should do like a barbecue one and have him come up and, you know what I mean?
He can do most of the work. I don't care.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got all the duds for it. The only thing I would love to do is the one with the cross where you put the whole animal on the spit. Cooking style.
I forget the exact name. It's Argentinian though.
Yeah. I want to say it's carne asada, but it's not. I can't even remember what it is.
There's a term for it, and I have not been able to do it yet, but it looks awesome. I'd love to try it.
That's yeah, sure. you take the fire and you're looking for the infrared or radiant heat, and then you just basically throw salt water on it with like a herb. Francis Millman, we talked about it the last time
we were talking to somebody.
And you just kind of like spray it as it's cooking and it keeps the moisture. It's almost similar to when the Bedouins would take a Donner or Giotto and they would kind of build that up. But it's the radiant heat from the fire that is actually cooking the product. It's amazing the tenderness that you get from it and the complexity from it.
You know, as full as I am at the moment, I'm pretty sure that I can jump right back in. Like, let's, you know, I might heat up one of those sandwiches now.
You get on the way home.
It's a barbecue. It's barbecue. It's what can I tell you? Yeah, I think we should do a thing, man. If we can, that would be kind of cool.
Let's not do it in July or August.
No,
it's the worst time of the year to do barbecue.
Yeah, no. Who said July and August?
I'm just making sure you understand that.
What do I look like? Oh, a Neanderthal?
Yeah, no. John, you want to answer that?
Stay silent, all right, John? You just stay silent over there. God. Yeah, no, let's put some stuff together because I think it would be kind of cool to do that. And, you know, one of the sponsors, vendor partners to the Walk and Talk Media is Peninsula Food Service, which, you know, is largest Creekstone Farm distributor in the Southeast. So we can, you know, bring in some nice big badass, you know, Creekstone brisket, get to bring in some prime, you know,
and
have some fun with it. Yeah.
I got two
A9. They have a great product.
I got two A9 briskets that are burning a hole in my refrigerator right now.
Yeah, that too. I mean, you should have brought those over too. I don't know. I mean, you know what? Maybe you just come over to the house. Let's just move in. Can you move in? I got an extra. We got another room.
Yeah. So, Tillman, I have a buddy of mine that works for Pilot Meats, and he was like, hey, I got a deal for you. And he got me two A9 briskets, 30 something pounds. It was just unbelievable. I'll tell you how much it was off air. Yeah.
I understand.
I have a strip loin that he just left in my freezer, and then I have Wagyu burgers and Wagyu hot dogs as well.
I'm really interested. Man,
you're loaded.
Yeah. I'm really interested in those dogs.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
I've eaten a lot of hot dogs, you know, because I like hot dogs.
Me
stuff,
too.
Especially the non-nitrate ones.
Yeah. Nice. You know, you don't say much, but when you do, you really stick it right in my side.
When you're doing the competitions, getting back on that subject, isn't there a certain way, you were talking about chicken, isn't there a certain way that the pork has to be presented? There's a certain way that the brisket and the ribs have to be. Can you go over that stuff too?
Yeah. Sorry. I know we got sidetracked there.
We always do. So, it's okay. It's ADHD. And see OCD.
Right? So what you want to do, you know, ribs, it's pretty cut and dry. And although I guess not necessarily, because you don't really want to turn in baby backs in Florida barbecue or in Kansas City barbecue. Most of the time it's a spare rib, but it's a St. Louis cut spare. So there's really not too many variations you can do is in terms of what to turn in. You literally just want to put in your best ribs in the box, which is also a skill to try and determine that, because you know, you can't bite it and then turn it in. So that's the best part about the ribs and the chicken. You're kind of at the mercy of choosing correctly and poking, prodding, and visual, the whole nine.
You need
But when it comes to pork...
you need me. You have to, in order to really hone this in and take it to the next level, you need my tasting and judging abilities. You know,
I'll take you up on it. any guidance, I'm always open. Oh, but the pork, it's typically shoulder or butt is what we would cook. And what you want to showcase is the different muscles in the pork shoulder that you can pull out and demonstrate, you know. So you got, they call it the money muscle. Everybody's probably familiar with that term, the money muscle. It's that beautiful part in the front of the Boston butt that has those fat lines going through it. And if you can medallion those up nicely, and then there's tubes, which are down inside the Boston butt area. You know, then there's the bacon, which is under the fat cap on the bottom. If you can pull that out, the key is really to be able to cook it all perfectly. And it's hard not to have one turn to mush when the other one's perfect and so on. So, and then demonstrate all of it in the presentation box properly.
Yeah, there's not just you slap it down and then they go ahead and eat it. There's an actual step-by-step thing that we got to do. This is more science than it is cooking. Hands down, this really is almost like the pastry, science. Yeah, baking and pastry.
It is barbecue. It's insane how much it's become a science project. I make that joke all the time. I'm like, this is a science project now, because I'm outside. How's the weather? Which way is the wind blowing? Is it raining? Is it, you know, what's the humidity? And then we got our Cambros. You can hold the food in a Cambro after it's cooked, but okay, you're gonna hold it vented. You're gonna hold it. You're gonna what we call burp the Cambro, release some of the pressure. There's so many different things after you're done. Okay, hit temperature by probe and it looks great, feels great. Put it in the Cambro. It's not time to turn in. It's not time to carve yet. We need it to rest. But if you leave it in the Cambro and you got too many other things in the Cambro, now it's cooking again. You know, so there's definitely a whole science in the whole thing. That's for sure.
So what's funny, you just said that we were in Dallas and we ran into the different kitchens, and then one of the suppliers was Metro, and they're known for shelving and storage. And I got giddy because they had this like portable, like prep table, and it had third pan, six pans, and a cutting board. You cut on it and like go from there. But what really impressed me, there was a hot box that was vented. I just want to reiterate, it's a hot box that's vented. And anybody knows a hot box that can be vented knows exactly you get giddy. That's something you might want to talk about with Metro. We can introduce you to AJ and those guys. Because that thing is, I think for barbecue, would definitely be in. Especially because I think your rig on the food trailer, you have electric on that too. So you could definitely use that.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Yeah. Now, granted, if it's an electric box, then I can't. We can't use anything electric to
all right, unplug
hold
it then.
Food. Oh yeah, it's
Sterno. It's Sterno. Challenging. That's exactly what we do in the hotels. it doesn't work anymore. Well, we're not throwing it out. We're putting sternos in the bottom of it.
Repurpose.
Oh, heck yeah.
Now, the funny thing is you can use a pellet grill because your fan is plugged in and you have a temperature controller, which we can use, but the fire technically is carried on by it. I guess that glow rod gets the pellets burning. Once the pellets are burning, the glow rod turns off. So now your fire is just contained in that little, I don't know, pot, you're supposed, so to speak, and then the air keeps it going. Those are legal. So it's a funny circumstance.
Hmm. I didn't realize there were that sort of restriction. I mean, I eat barbecue. I don't, you know.
Oh, when you go into competition, especially barbecue, there's a whole list of different, like he was talking about, there's different sanctions, rules.
I mean, not for nothing, but when we were at World Food Championship and they had the live fire where Pooch and I were judging, that there were, like, I don't know, 20 something, I forget how many, 20 plus contestants out there, competitors. And man, all like they had the radiant heat rig that you were talking about. Like there were a few of those, and it's pretty amazing. Like with the effort that it takes into to grilling and barbecue and smoking and, you know, all that, man, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
No, barbecue is one of those things that you are wired wrong.
It sounds like it's probably really it's an expensive endeavor.
I let Tillman answer that. I can tell you, I have three smokers and I can tell you how much I've spent. Not like he's retarded.
It's insane. I mean, I don't even, I try not to add it all back up over the years, honestly, because it would probably just put me into a depression.
Yeah, but you're having fun though.
But right, it is. It's fun. Yeah.
See, when I'm down in the dumps, I eat my way out of it. Like you're
he's cooking his way out of it.
You're self propelling, man. Like I'm down in the dumps. Ah, but I'm making barbecue. I'm happy. You know, it's like this circle of life, man. Right in front of you. You're living it.
That is very true. Yeah. And now the thing is, when I have to stop at a fuel station with the RV and the trailer and fill up, and I say, it's okay. We're just going to a contest. It's not. It's going to be great. And then I'm good.
Yeah, his trailer is like, no, not like kidding. It can be its own restaurant in itself.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you've got a duck oven, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Or something similar to a duck oven.
Well, no, it's more like, I mean, I don't have any cooking devices inside.
Just no, that's on the outside.
Means to put a hood.
Yeah.
Oh, I have that. Yeah, it's, I actually got rid of that one. It was an upright. I got rid of that and I had plans for another one, but yeah, that was an upright gravity feed style smoker with it holds charcoal, and a fan will keep it running until it runs out of charcoal. Basically.
I'm looking at it right now, Tillman. I'm on your Instagram and that is bad ass.
Yeah. I'm not, he did not spare any expense on that one. He really wanted to go in.
How do I say that? you said that you're getting support from the missus, right? Is that,
does
she like barbecue? Does she like to eat the barbecue? I think this will answer the whole thing. Does she eat barbecue?
This is a tricky question. She likes barbecue, but not if I say right now, hey, there's a barbecue restaurant in town, can we go check it out? She's basically, I get the look like, really, we're gonna have barbecue? So she'll eat it, but we'll get done with the contest, and then okay, I don't want to eat anything else. I don't want to eat barbecue again. I don't want to eat it until the next contest, where, because I keep passing her, you know, she's my taster, so I'll be like, okay, this is good, what do you think, give her a bite. And you know, so yes, she likes it, but then I've kind of worn that out over the years, I guess. So
well, you know, good news for you, Tillman. I think Carl will step in to be your wife's.
I'll be your work wife.
He'll be the official taster.
Yes.
I'm down for that.
Work wife, yes.
Yeah, I mean that in the most masculine way. So listen, I'm
looking. I love it.
Yeah, no, but the.
He's gonna hang up the phone and it's gonna be a taster.
I'm looking at this smoker. Look at that thing. It's like chromed out with the Tillman logo and everything. That's
he's done a really great job. In fact, his bus is really cool too.
I'm looking at that. So you're towing, you tow the rig behind the bus, right?
Right. So the story behind that is, well, I used to tents, tables, smoker, you know, we slept in a tent before the kids, thankfully. And that got old real quick. And then we got a trailer where I started loading the smoker into the back, and not a trailer, like a toy hauler, and then loading the coolers and the tables and the chairs. And then next weekend we're going camping, and my wife's like, why does it smell like barbecue in here? Well, we just cooked the contest out of the camper. I mean, so, finally, after seeing how exhausted I was and she was tired of the barbecue leftovers, she's like, we need to just get a barbecue trailer and a motorhome. I'm like, sign me up. Yeah, I'm in.
He won that battle.
Dude, you're living the life I want. Oh, yeah. I'm not even kidding. I'm looking at this. Like, this is, I mean, the bus is like, this is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. I feel like we've kind of graduated. I tell people, as I get a lot of the guys who are just starting, and they're like, man, you know, you're this. How do I get to that? I'm like, listen, I schlepped tables, chairs, coolers, and ice, and everything you can imagine for years. I feel like I've graduated to it 10 years in, and this is where we're at. But you just got to keep on grinding, you know. That's just the thing. And
your smoker
shopping for deals.
But Tillman, yep. your smoker is like a hopped up, golf carts. Like it's cooler looking than a golf cart. Like it's got the mag wheels on it. Look at this thing. I mean, I know you guys have seen it. I have not. Yeah. This is my first time seeing it. Look at that. That's badass.
So,
That's an offset, right? That's the offset.
Yep, it's a Texas style offset, and it's built in Indiana. There's a guy out there named Jay, has Outlaw Smokers, barbecue smokers in Indiana. They're awesome.
We met them, Outlaw Smokers. They were in Dallas.
Did we?
Yeah, they were the ones when you came out.
Yeah,
maybe we got to give them a call.
The ones when you came out of the auditorium and you went down, they were right there on the right hand side. They had the Santa Maria Grill and all that. They had all that stuff in the tastings.
I was gonna say, he probably had a booth there.
Yeah, there was a couple of guys there. We had one other dude that was doing grills, but there was a guy that does smokers, and one of them was the one you mentioned, because I remember that name, Outlaw Smokers. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, we should probably reach out.
But it's the most efficient offset I've ever cooked on, and you know, I don't have to blow through wood. I keep it rolling with small sticks, nice small fire, nice clean smoke, and it'll run hot, or I can keep it down to 275, but if I want to go 450, it'll even cruise at that temp if I wanted to. It's pretty cool.
It looks like it actually goes off-roading. That's what it looks like.
I know.
Listen, so audience, wait a second. Audience, if you're listening, whoever is listening, apparently there's a lot, go to Tillman, TillmanBBQ. On the Instagram. Go check out what this guy's doing.
Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, of course.
Check it out.
Man, I feel like a fanboy right now. Sorry, I'm usually not like this. The bus is so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, everything about when you're talking about barbecue, there's a lot involved in it. And there's bus. Oh, I know. I saw it. I know. Wait, did he paint it? It wasn't that color. Was that color?
Yeah,
I thought it was
more. Are you going to get that wrapped? Or you're, I mean, it's cool. It's beautiful. I mean, you don't have to touch it.
We know a graphic designer if he needs it wrapped.
You know a guy.
What, the
bus?
The back of the trailer?
The bus.
Oh, the bus. Well, that was off limits because when I came home with a teal motorhome, everything I own now is teal. My wife has gone teal crazy. So we have everything teal. So now there is no wrapping the bus. I can wrap the trailer, but the bus is off limits.
Wow. Okay. Hey, listen.
Can you wrap it in teal?
You know what? That's an idea.
You know what you need to do here? Look, I'm glad we had this talk here. This is what you got to do. Okay.
Oh, here it comes.
I'm going to make this. So what you do is you come out with a barbecue sauce. Okay. That has something to do with like, I don't know, something that you can use a teal logo, and you make that your number one sauce, right? That's the one you're going to go out from now on and just kick everybody's ass with, right? Like you're going to just demolish everybody with this particular teal, you know, logo barbecue sauce. And then that is when you take that bus and you turn it into the Tillman bus. With the barbecue, with the colors, man. Like, this is all you need to do. John, let's do it. Can we work on this now?
Seal Incorporated.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Great idea.
And you can be called Tealman.
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 You know, the funny the funny thing is, over the past few years, the nickname of the bus is the Teal Turd, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
She's been good to us, but the guys in the competition world go, oh, there's Tillman with the Teal Turd, and it's kind of stuck. So
I don't know if I liked it. You're tarnishing my vision of this whole thing, man.
I will tell you the brotherhood when you'd go out to, you know, when we went out when I first met Tillman.
Yeah.
There was a family that was from Seattle, right? The Northwest.
Oh, they were from Colorado. Oh, yeah. They traveled all the way from Colorado. Yeah. Great people.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, it was like Tillman was when I walked up and John was introducing me, Tillman was like, oh, you got to try this. And the guy was trying to, hey, you need to try this. And it was like back and forth, even though they're competing, you still have that camaraderie.
Did you see?
Yeah. We competed against each other. Yeah. It was awesome.
So the camaraderie thing it's real at the World Food Championship. Did you see the family of, had the,
she won the live fire, woman's live fire.
Yeah. There was like two daughters and a son.
Oh, no. That's the wrong couple.
Yeah, no. So there was a, you know, married, the family, right? Husband, wife. There was the daughter who was probably, I'm going to say 10, 11. They had another son, either two daughters or two sons, I forget. But the middle child was probably 7. And then they had the kid in there. He was like 5. And everybody had a role. Killer. Yeah, it was really cool. Everybody had a job, you know, even the youngin', he had a job too. You know, he took a little bit of coaxing, but the camaraderie and the family affair of it, the barbecue, it was really cool. Well, I mean, I know that that's how everybody gets down in that life, I guess.
But I thought, you know, that when you were talking about that family, there was one family that the guy that won the pickle king won the jam. He was the jam king. His wife won live fire for the women. Their son won, was going out for the chef one. Yeah. And they were at Mike McLeod's house doing the dinner when we were invited, and she did that tiramisu.
Oh.
That's the family I thought you were talking about. But yeah, I mean, anything dealing, that's another thing about barbecue. When you're dealing with barbecue, because it takes so long, what do? You sit around and you talk and you tell stories. And that's one of the great things about it, besides being primal.
Yeah.
For me, that's as a chef, it's getting back to the roots of fire. And Tillman, right. I got a question for you. True. Do you still keep a journal? Like when you're writing, like
I do.
And who's the pit master you look up to? Like that's your god for pit master.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving. Your partner in organization and efficiency.
So, I mean, I got to say, Myron Mixon, I've said that in the beginning. He started it. I mean, I can't say he started it, but he really empired this whole competition world. And he started from his father doing, you know, live fire, whole hog cooking on brick style pits. And, you know, he kept on going through and he designed a smoker where it was portable, but not necessarily not really a brick, but more of a steel box type of thing where you still got live fire underneath.
Yeah. He does the underneath and the meat's on the top,
which is pretty cool. And I mean, he's just one of many that have come out over the years who I've learned a ton from. You know, Heath Riles is doing really well in the sauce and rub scene now. I've watched his videos over the years on YouTube, learned how to cook many different things. I mean, the list goes on. Not even that, just guys who I've cooked with in the Florida Barbecue Association over the years who have been on different TV shows, Jim Elser and Matt Barber, it's Hot Wachulas. There's so on and so forth. There's so many that we all kind of help each other. These guys watch me grow to where I'm at now. Now I compete against them all the time, and we still pass each other food. And I'm like, what do you think about this? And then he'll either tell me to go F off because it's amazing, or he'll be like,
F off because it sucks. Like,
yeah. Or he'll be like, you need something there. Something's missing. And, you know, whatever. We'll talk about that kind of thing. But,
and these are people that your camaraderie, your competitor, this is like a people you compete against.
Yeah. We compete against each other. And, you know, when I first met them in 2013, I looked up to them like, wow, I mean, these are the big dogs, you know, these guys are killing it and doing really well. And now I'm amongst them, and, you know, we've like grown friendships over the years, and we help each other out so much, still competing against each other every week. It's pretty crazy.
Well, now it's to a, it's, you know, you've gotten to a place where you're like, hey, come here. Nah, get out of here. You know, like you're telling, hey, get out of here, kid. I don't need you. No, I'm only kidding. But, so, I mean, that is a brotherhood of sorts. Because if you can actually have that sort of relationship with people that you compete against, that's pretty amazing. I like this. I mean, I'm digging this, because this is not something I'm accustomed. I mean, I eat it, right? But I've not been privy to the barbecue lifestyle, you know?
There, you know, most competitions you watch on the TV and you'll see there's always that villain and then there's the good person and whatever. I've never seen it in barbecue. Never have seen it. I've seen where you ask questions and they're more helpful and they'll help you get along because they remember when they started out. I mean, how many briskets have you lost? How many, you know, how much money have you thrown away? Forget about buying a grill, buying a smoker, buying a camper or trailer. It's how much money have you blown away because the food just absolutely sucked. It came out like crap. The reason why I asked that question about journaling, I took Aaron Franklin's course. And that's the pitmaster. That's my guy.
He's the man.
Exactly. When you read about him and from the first time I laid eyes on a smoke and I was going to do it, I wrote everything down, what the weather was doing. So I kind of snickered when you said, is the humidity, is it the cold? Is it raining? Is humidity? How's the wood going to treat me today? Even to start the fire. And that's something I love to do. Well, how do you do it?
I flew out to take Travis Clark's class, which that guy, when it comes to contests, forget it. You know, if he's there, it's a problem. So I flew out to Oklahoma, took his class, and I mean, I couldn't imagine the amount of information I picked up, and still have that documentation that I refer to all the time when I'm cooking, because he cooks on an offset style, just like mine. It's called a Jambo. And another guy who really look up to, and now he's got a restaurant and he's got a line of seasonings and rubs and such. So it's awesome.
There's a guy at the American Culinary Federation. He's a certified master chef. And guess what he teaches? Barbecue. Rich Rosendale. Rich Rosendale is like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And
I've heard that name. Yep.
Yeah. Chris Tanner was the one that when we were meeting with Chris, he was mentioning Rich. Rich does. In fact, Rich did a class with a buddy of mine that my buddy got done, Joseph Waters. And he's at Jonathan's Landing. Membership bought him a $12,000 smoker. Yeah. So, I mean, this thing is gargantuan.
This is exactly the crew of people that I want to be rubbing elbows with. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, I mean, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? This is what we need in our life.
I'll give you another thing. So,
I need it in my life. I don't know.
4 years ago now. The American Culinary Federation was going to do a national culinary convention in Austin, Texas. And they looked at me and they go,
oh, wow.
Would you like to present? I'm like, heck yeah. Like, what do you want to present?
Yeah.
I go, plant-based barbecue. What better place to introduce plant-based barbecue than Austin, Texas? Right. Obviously, 2020, COVID hit. This year, February 11th, I fly out to Cater Source in Austin, Texas, and I'm presenting to 8,000 chefs, plant-based barbecue.
That's pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah. It's Austin, Texas, and I'm not doing meat, which is kind of like, what are you doing? But I'm going to put it out there.
I need some guidance there.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch, man.
Jackfruit.
Yeah, but there's so many other things that are coming out now that you can utilize that are giving that meat texture. And I'll mention a couple, shiitake and maitakes, mushrooms. They they're kicking it up to another level of what we can play with on beats. Smoking beats and doing like a beat tartare is, I've kind of not mastered it, but I've gotten it down to where vegans yell at me because it tastes like meat.
And then you've arrived.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I want to try it.
Listen, you can definitely try that. When we do our barbecue thing, I'll do plant-based, you do the meat proteins.
I'm totally down.
Is this
I'd
a challenge?
I'd love to learn a new thing.
It's not a challenge.
Is this a competition?
No, there's no competition. Because he'll my barbecue sauce against his, I'll definitely do that.
Oh, yeah. We should do a cool thing like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the story. Last year, we were in Anthem, and it's a restaurant equipment thing. And Citrus America, which is really good partners of ours, they have a juicer. And this thing, they had Noble Citrus Crunch, right? It was the tangerine. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It was literally like a cup of Florida in the glass every time you tasted That's this amazing. Orange juice. And I looked over at Carl and John. I went, you know what this would be really good at? And I'm like, what? I'm like an old fashioned like drink. And then I went, you would really good be good as an old fashioned barbecue, as in like make the drink and throw it in a barbecue sauce. Your buddy Jim designed that for me and he nailed it on the first try. So I'm going to get with somebody to do my labels and hopefully I'll be coming out with my Meemaw's sassy sauce.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now we
I'm
should
glad
put,
you were able to make that happen.
Oh, and then I have an Aji Verde, which is the green Peruvian sauce that someone doesn't like mayonnaise to my right, but the one across from me, which is Carl, loves that sauce.
No, I love everything. I don't have hangups like that. So look, you know, but listen, let's do this. Let's do the Meemaw sauce against, I don't know, like what you, would you do the Floridian? What would you
do? No, it's too different. I have is more Kansas City based. So I would do it and I'd put it up against the Florida, but it'd be so different.
Yeah. But is that what you would, tell me, what would you throw in there? What would you do?
I mean, that's a tough one because, you know, like you said, it's going to be such a variation. But then again, you said it was more like a Kansas City style.
Yeah, definitely Kansas City. It's got the molasses and ketchup and all that, the tomato.
I'd put my competition brew against it. That's for sure. That one is a Kansas City style sauce.
It's good.
John's shaking his head.
Yeah, no, I've had it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
He's winking. He's doing all sorts of weird stuff. I don't know what he's doing up there. He agrees.
But when you say I'm going to do a competition, now I want to tweak it and I want to make it. I want to modify it on the fly. That's what
this is the power of the podcast right here. Yeah, this is what we want.
Right?
Yeah, this is what I want. Let's you know what? And we do something cool, like you know, grill for you know Pink Slips or something. Like, hey, I get your smoker, you get my take. You know, I'm kidding.
No,
sort of.
I'm used to my smoker. Yeah. It takes. How long has it taken you to when you got the new smoker? How long did it take you to get acclimated to it?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And that's also where I kind of, and I don't want to boast or anything, but I just felt like I've come to that point where I feel like I graduated. I looked at the wife and I said, I think I could cook on anything at this point and pull it off, because our first contest out of the gate with the Outlaw, first place brisket. And we had wind and rain and all sorts of craziness going on. And, you know, basically it's like, once you learn the fire control, you know, and you just get it pretty quickly. You just need to figure out where you're choking off what and how to choke it off and not to over smoke by adding too much wood, or, oh, it's getting cool, we need to add more wood. No, don't do that. You know, so there's just a lot of things that I've learned over the years. It didn't take me long on the Outlaw. I will say that it is easy. It is a pretty easy cooker to get used to. That's for sure. So
I feel like we're going to call these guys, just saying, Outlaw. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I could use a new smoker. Let me
know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could use a new smoker.
Right. We got to call him.
Just don't tell the wife.
No, it's between us, man. It's between us.
And my wife doesn't listen to this thing, so it's okay.
You know, and the other, you know, 1.6 million downloads that we got this year. You know what I'm saying?
John's wife listens.
Right?
Yeah, true story.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, there goes that. She'll text Erica.
Uh-oh. Yeah, what did I start here? It's not my fault.
Yeah, it's all good.
I didn't do it. All right. Ah, boy, I tell you what. All right, so.
Wait, real quick before we start that, I just want to give a huge shout out to Marimoto's down in Disney Springs.
Okay.
Michelle, Lenny, Jose, you guys did a great job. They recognized, they did their homework. I put the reservation underneath a name and they they followed through, and it was just unbelievable. So hats off to them. Great service.
Do you have a, do you have like now, you know, secretary or something like that? Do you have somebody doing all your assistant or whatever?
No. Can you afford one though?
No,
please.
All right. Mr. Tillman, thank you for being on the program. How do people find you? I did the IG. What else you got?
So yeah, it's basically at Tillman's BBQ for all social media. They can find me Facebook, Instagram, I guess it's X now. I'm not really on there much anymore, but now I'm drawing a blank. TikTok, got that. I try to do videos. And I have a YouTube channel, which in 24 I'm hoping to blow up. But TillmansBBQ.com as well is my website. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show with you guys.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. We appreciate you. John, you're awesome as usual. Jeff, you suck. No, I'm kidding. You're awesome, baby. We... are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.